Let's get started in very big things. 8:33 p.m. on February 9th, 2024, while the meeting of the Board of Psychologists is recorded. The first time in 4 years we have, met this person, so this is quite an event. We have also provided an alternative to the meeting via video courses. Some of the partners and property lawyers have to be on them.
Mr. Weimar?
Present.
Dr. Medina? Present. Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Dr. Paterino?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Flint, present. Dr. Seidman,
present.
Dr. Stenhoff,
here.
Mr. Wynn, we have a form.
So, in terms of the margin and answer, please keep in mind that any time you take on the agenda of content, the board has every effort to begin to be at the 39. The board has extended the session on agenda items. Timed item that returns to the former agenda item. The board can also reorder a non-timed item. Thank you very much for your use of the great time to sit for on the screen. And those who are participating in person, I think as for the fact that we're getting to speak up because we can't see each other, but I'm sure people on the screen can see all of us. The board encourages everyone in attendance to provide feedback by completing the board's assessment form. You find the link on the meeting agenda that is posted on the board's website. I want to recognize all of the board members for your hard work. I know it takes, you know, many hours of preparing for all of the materials that are provided to us and prepared for meetings like this. Each board member, you know, I thank you personally for all of your hard work. And I also want to thank our staff for putting many hours in getting all of us prepared for these meetings. And I know, especially, you know, putting together a hybrid meeting like this is challenging for staff. And I appreciate all of the, also, you know, thousands of small things that they took care of for this meeting. In terms of continuing education, attendance at this board meeting is eligible for continuing education credits if it is at least 4 hours long. If the duration is 4 hours or more, please take a note of the code words provided throughout the meeting and report those code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing education credits. Look for the link on the board's meeting page for this particular meeting. And don't, if you have, you know, 4 codes, don't send 4 emails or send 1 email. It's uncertain that this meeting will be 4 hours in duration. So if that's the case, then thank you very much. Call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board will limit the number of persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number of any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. According to ARS 38-431.02 subsection H, the board can only take action on matters listed on the agenda. The board members may not discuss any matter with each other or with any member of the public. The only option available is to instruct staff to place the topic on a future agenda if applicable. If you wish to speak, please unmute your line, state your name, and I will follow you. Hearing none, let's go to item 5. Ms. Dalton, you have to do that paper.
Mr. Chairman, I will move to the board as you know.
Let's go to the consent agenda. Item number 6. For the record, are there any recusals from any items on the consent?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
I just want to disclose for the minutes that two former students, C1B and C3A, are on the agenda. However, I don't feel.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I need to recuse from the January 12th regular and executive session minutes.
Chairman Dinar?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'll need to recuse myself from C1A, Dr. Jazzo. I was her advisor on her dissertation committee and her class instructor. I'm sorry, there, I believe there's some audio issues. Chairman Dinar, were you addressing me?
So we can see you, but we can hear you only sort of faintly. So maybe you're not working on our computer. Maybe improving the volume of the.
I'm sorry, my volume is up at 100%. Can you hear me now?
Mr. Seideman, or Dr. Seideman, please speak again.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Is that
okay? I'll repeat myself then. I'll need to recuse myself from C1A, Dr. Jasso, as I was her academic advisor on her dissertation committee and her class instructor.
Any item on the agenda that anybody wants to remove for further discussion? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the items on the agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Stewart. Move, and I believe, we have a motion and a second. Second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. That's at 11 o'clock, so we'll move past that item. Ms. Patton or Ms. Michelson, please go next. Let's go to number 15, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding ASPPB 2023 annual meeting report. Dr. Davey, let me actually get to the spot. Dr. Davey, why does the summary of the report?
Yes, thank you. particularly from some of how we interact with. After that, we can begin with the meeting. And so we go over all the courage.
That's very helpful information for all of the board members to keep in mind as a staff and those in attendance. So with that, is there any discussion that you would like to have on that Dr. David gave us? Yes, Dr. David.
Dr. David,
I'm also getting some indications from other members. I think we need to speak once upon a microphone. I think we've done if we have energy with a hot mic and rise, and we know that people are all in the room that want to. Hopefully, I'm going to talk as well. That's the ACCC pursued matter. What I recall learning was the update that was delivered by the new director of assessment and by the CEO really focused on their efforts to collect stakeholder input through the town hall meeting. There's a few meetings, of course, the dean had no
own study material. So these were requiring psychology applicants. Here's that the process find that is able to provide access and to provide access to study materials that would be on the PPSA too.
Yes, if members of the board, this is Jean Gotham. I do appreciate this discussion. The agenda item was told Dr. Davis kind of summarized the making that I believe that we are spreading a little bit from the game. I can give more in depth discussion about the interpretation in the first day of the concerns of the board have, and maybe it was not appropriate for staff. I can see that it's
is there any discussion or question for Dr. Davis in terms of the 2023 meeting report that is applied to the board? Hearing none, is there, I don't think we need to have a motion or anything, but when we come to future agenda items, I just want to make a note that we'll add Dr. recommendation to add the item regarding the discussion, the next available meeting. I think that concludes our discussion of item number 15 on our agenda. Ms. Packard, Ms. Michael, where should we go next?
Thank you. If Dr. Davies new item number 12, and we didn't have our English camp, as we described her, for item number 15, and so
all right, let's go to number 12, which is discussion consideration and possible action regarding the Committee on Behavior Analysis recommendation for complaint number 24-18. Against Sean Peck. I assume I'm saying it correctly, but please correct me if I'm not. For initial case review, Dr. Bailey, since you are the lead, would you please get started?
Thank you. I believe that Dr. Bailey is not the case we call it.
Thank you. That
was a week ago. So, let's see, after 4 hours. With regard to this complaint, the Committee on Behavior Analysis assessment documentation of over 1,000 pages on file and had a discussion around what the complaint centered around, which was really an RBT at the time, perhaps was engaged in an inappropriate school, be a child that was charter school, and then the plate sets went on to try to figure out who might have been supervising the individual that was perhaps good with, and doing so, then didn't provide some information with regard to concern. The complaint was not. But to have a response to any hearing, who's more described in the client and question trained leader under the one. very much. And so upon a review of the documentation, including
Thank you, Dr. Davey. At this point, do any of the board members have questions for Dr. Davey? Hearing none, Mr. Happy, do I see you on Zoom? If you're attending via Zoom at this time, you may wish to unmute yourself and state your name for the record. And you can make a statement of up to 5 minutes, and I'm sure you might have maybe some questions for you. Thank you, Ms. Michael. So then let's go to discussion. I heard Dr. Davey that the committee recommended dismissal. So at this point, if there is any discussion as to that, or if there are any concerns that the board members see in terms of the materials that we reviewed, then now would be the time to speak. Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Please, Mr. Chair, move that we accept the committee presentation.
Thank you. There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Please explain. Mr. Wynn, oh, second. Okay, Mr. Wynn, thank you. Yes, it's a bit challenging because I can't see my colleagues sitting in a line here. There is a motion by Dr. Stewart, second by Mr. Wynn. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Refused? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So then I believe this faculty can go to number 13.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we can go to 13, but I'm still getting indications from the remote participants that the audio is not entirely clear, capturing any word. Even if I am as close to the right as I am, it's still not being effective. So I'm actually going to suggest that right might be in order for staff to try to take them out and troubleshoot systemically what might be happening.
Certainly. Thank you, Ms. Paxman. Let's do a break. I hope we can solve it within 5 to 10 minutes, but, you know, I'll announce when we're back. Thank you.
All right. It's 9:11 a.m., and I'm calling the meeting to order. Everyone on Zoom, can you hear us all right?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Poe, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Seidman?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Mr. Wynn?
Present.
We have a quorum again.
Thank you, Ms. Poe. Ms. Packinen, so are we still going to 13 now? Number 13.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, I'm just asking if we should go to agenda item number 13.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 13 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding request for nomination of Cindy Olby-Saidi as a candidate for the Secretary-Treasurer position of the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards. Ms. Packinen, would you please get us started with this item?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So as we are all aware, Dr. Cindy Olby is currently the Secretary Treasurer of the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards. She has been serving in that role in a very distinguished fashion, and she wishes to run for what could be the final term for which she would be eligible. And so This board nominated her, I believe, in both previous instances when she was elected. And I think that we have the opportunity to once again forward that recommendation or that nomination to ASPPB. There's a formal process that I will need to complete and submit. And so I'm sure we want to hear from Dr. Olvey, and then I will take the board's direction from there.
Thank you, Ms. Pakkinen. Dr. Olvey, I don't know if you're in person or on Zoom.
She is here.
Oh, wonderful. Right there. Oh, there you are. Thank you for being here in person. So if you want to come forward and maybe address the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, board council, staff colleagues. It is so great to be with you in person. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So members, any discussion or any questions for Dr. Olvey?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Dr. Stewart.
Dr. Olvey. Have you lost your mind? Why would you want to undertake that?
Well, thank you for the question, Dr. Stewart. You know, many of you know me from the days I was executive director for this board, and that was from 2009 to 2018. And actually, my second day on the job as executive director, the board flew me to Boston to attend the mid-year meeting of ASPPB, and I was not familiar with the association at all, but it was such a learning experience and a wonderful experience. I got to hear what other states and provinces are doing along the same line as Arizona for licensing, for complaints, and much has happened since that time. You know, Arizona has been such a leader nationally and internationally, when you consider Canada being the first state to adopt SciPact, for example, and there have been many exciting things that go on with ASPPB. And likewise, you know, the association is several decades old now. And so a couple of years ago, we took on a deep dive diagnostic look at the association. And we have identified a number of areas for improvement and for change. And that's one of the reasons I want to see that through a little bit further. And that's a big reason I'd like to do another three-year term. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may follow up.
Yes, please.
I can wholeheartedly endorse Dr. Olvey for the position that she seeks with ASPPB. I've known her for several years. She has done an excellent job with this board previously, has interacted with the State Psychological Association. I think her input has really improved over the years, the State Association and how it's run. So I can wholeheartedly endorse her.
Thank you, Dr. Stewart. Dr. Davey, you have your hand up.
Yes. Good to see you.
Good to see you,
Dr. Olvey. I remember my first day on the as a member of this audience, and you being so gracious as the executive director at that point and helping us move along in terms of both the field of psychology as well as applied behavior analysis. As I reported earlier, I had my first chance to attend one of the meetings recently and see you interact with individuals from all over the country with regard to that association, and just really would just report back to this committee that Cindy is seen not only as a leader here in Arizona, but obviously nationally. She commanded a presence at the meetings, at the social events. People are engaged with her. And I, for one, agree with Dr. Stewart that I wholeheartedly can endorse her candidacy here. I think it not only will help propel or continue to propel the field of psychology, but I think it also allows Arizona to have a seat at the table when there's very significant issues that are being discussed within those associations that have impact not only for Arizona, but for psychologists both here in the United States as well as Canada. So thank you for offering your service and look forward to another 3 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Dr. Katerina.
Well, I've known Dr. Obi since she was a student, and she was outstanding then, and she's been outstanding ever since. I definitely think that Arizona benefits by having her in the presidency of ASPPB, and I wholeheartedly support her nomination.
Thank you, Dr. Katerina. Dr. Medina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to say thank you for being willing to serve, you know, be out there and do what not very many people really want to do, because it's a lot of work. And so having someone from Arizona is, it's magnificent, and I could not think of a better person. So I wholeheartedly endorse you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Medina. Dr. Flint, and then Dr. Seidman.
I just wanted to add my voice of agreement, and you are a gift to psychological practice here in Arizona, but also at a national level. And the way that you invest in everything that you do is admirable. And it's so much fun to watch you in that prime and do all these amazing things. I fully support this nomination and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Dr. Flint.
Dr. Seidman.
Thank you, Chairman Diner. I've known Dr. Olby since she's been a student as well, and I'm quite proud of her and her accomplishments over the many, many years. And I would be awfully proud for you to represent us again as secretary on ASPPB. So thank you for your service and your continued willingness to do so.
Thank you, Dr. Seidman.
Thank you, Dr. Seidman. So I was going to say we need a motion, but I hear that we don't need a motion. But maybe we do as a formality.
I'll be happy to make a motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Stewart. All right. Dr. Stewart gets the motion, and Dr. Katerina gets the second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Olby, for your service. All right, so that's number 13. Ms. Pakkanen, where should we go next?
Mr. Chair, let's move to agenda item number 8. I see that the subject for the agenda item is present.
So number 8 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding relating to Dr. Tarr's request for a continuance and initial case review of complaint number 24-22 against Catherine Tarr, PhD, to include the CSC's recommendation to issue an interim order for evaluation or other available remedies. So on this, I'll note for the record that Dr. Katerina is recused, so she has left the boardroom here since she's attending in person. I see, Dr. Seidman, your hand is up. Did you have some? Okay, your hand is up. Thank you.
No. Excuse me.
Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Diner. I was too quick on my trigger there on the raising hand, ignoring it. Dr. Snyder Tarr had mentioned in her documentation that she was affiliated with the Arizona School of Professional Psychology at Argosy University, which I was affiliated with for many years. But just for the record, there's no conflict of interest, and I do not need to recuse myself on this case.
Thank you, Dr. Seidman. Thank you, Dr. Seidman. So at this time, since I'm the lead on the case, I'll provide the board with a summary of what's happening. So this case comes to us via a complaint filed by another licensee who we are only going to refer by initials in this public meeting. She was concerned that Dr. Tarr showed some signs of behavioral changes that occurred in a fairly short amount of time. So she felt it as a licensee, as a psychologist, to report to the board that, you know, there may be something that the board needs to look at. So in MA's opinion, Dr. Tarr is facing some psychological impairment of a severe nature that may impact her ability to safely practice as a psychologist. And she gave several examples of why she reached that view as to Dr. Tarr's ability to practice as a psychologist. I won't go over all of the instances where which were mentioned to us and which were discussed in the CSC meeting a few weeks ago. But I'll state for the record that our staff conducted an interview with Dr. Tarr before the CSC meeting. And in that interview, there were several questions that were not answered. There was sort of a lot of discussion about personal attacks on the complainant, and trying to deflect the questions or not answer questions by answering a certain way. And then at the CSC meeting, we observed the same pattern. It was myself, I believe Dr. Flint, and Dr. Stewart. We asked some questions to Dr. Tarr, and the same sort of pattern of behavior was observed. The questions were not answered. There was some amount of belligerence in the way in which MA was personally attacked, and the quality of the answers were non-responsive to, or mostly non-responsive, I should say, to the questions that were answered. So following the CSC's meeting, the CSC recommended that this item be placed on this meeting's agenda, February 9th, because there was concern as to Dr. Tarr's fitness to practice. So the CSC recommended that the board consider whether it would be appropriate to order a fitness for duty evaluation and maybe include a substance abuse component to it, and the specific statutory violation that was noticed was of our unprofessional conduct statute subsection L. So that's the matter in front of us. The sort of maybe the initial matter in relation to that is Dr. Tarr's request to continue this meeting, and the reason for the continuance, for the requested continuance, is that perhaps Dr. Tarr is looking to hire the services of an attorney, and she's in the process of moving, so that might be a cause to reschedule this agenda item. But that's just a request at this point. I should also note for the record that Dr. Tarr is licensed in California, and the same complaint by the same complainant has been filed with the California Board of Psychology. As of January 24th, we have received communication from the California Board of Psychology saying that they have received the complaint against Dr. Tarr alleging unprofessional conduct, and they are looking into the matter. And if there is any additional information that is developed on our end, or if there is additional information that is developed on their end, we would share that information between the sister boards of the two states. So that's my summary of the case. At this time, I see Dr. Tarr is present via Zoom. But before I go to Dr. Tarr and MA, I see you as well. Thank you both for being here. Before that, let me see if the board members have any questions for me.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jean Galvin. I would just remind the members that the first order of business, if you will, is to decide whether to continue this matter at Dr. Tarr, Dr. Tarr's request.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. So actually, let's go to that. So my view is, and I want input from the board members as well, is the concerns that we saw in the CSC meeting were pretty major concerns, and it feels like the in aid of sort of finding out what actually is happening happening in this particular case, we want to have a fitness for duty evaluation done as soon as possible, because, you know, that will give us important information to figure out, you know, how best to help Dr. Tarr in her future endeavors. So my sense is that we are not looking to continue the matter at this time, but I'm willing to hear out what other board members have to say. Dr. Flint and then Dr. Medina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I fully agree and support that statement. I think there's a potential for some great concern about how Dr. Tarr is functioning and for her well-being as well. And so waiting based on, calling the trust or what was in the request letter, I firmly feel is just not prudent at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Flint. Dr. Stewart and then Dr. Medina.
I think Dr. Medina was first.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, Dr. Medina.
Yes. Sorry. My computer keeps putting down my hand. Doesn't want me to speak, I guess. I concur with what you both have shared. I am not inclined to grant that because of how concerning the information that we have on the case is. And I would not support granting a continuance for this case.
Thank you. Dr. Stewart?
I absolutely agree. I think we're dealing with an emergent issue that needs attention, and postponing it for any reason would be potentially place public members in jeopardy. So my idea is to not permit the continuance.
Thank you. Dr. Seidman? You're muted, Dr. Seidman.
Yes, I was. Thank you. I agree with what's been said by all of my colleagues here. I just would like to add that this will give Dr. Schneider-Tarr an opportunity to prove to the board that there's nothing for us to be concerned about. So I think a fitness for duty evaluation, as soon as we can get that going, would be much more prudent at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Seidman. So at this time, I'll make a motion. Yes.
Would you care to hear from Dr. Tarr, who is here, and she could speak in favor of her request?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Galvin. Dr. Tarr, maybe if you want to unmute yourself and tell us why the continuance is necessary. I'm sorry, we can't hear you. No. Perhaps, Dr. Tarr, if you want to call in through the through using the telephone line, maybe that might help.
Board members and members of the public, while we're waiting, this is Ms. Poe. I'm going to go ahead and give the first CE code word. Hopefully everybody can hear me. The first CE code word is mulligan. Mulligan. And just as a reminder, there is a link on the meetings page for today that has a Google form that you will submit at the end of the meeting with all of the keyword, all of the code words. Please do not send an email. Please submit the Google form that is on the meetings page today at the end of the meeting. Again, the first CE code word is mulligan. Mulligan. Thank you.
Hello. I'm in the meeting.
Yes, Dr. Tarr, can you just do a mic testing real quick?
With the computer mic?
Yes, no, this is work. This works. Yeah, thank you. We can hear you now.
You can hear me now.
So, Dr. Tark, would you like to tell the board why you're requesting a continuance?
So I'll be very brief about it. Okay, so I my predominant role right now is was a stay-at-home mom, so I currently don't even work with anybody in Arizona, and I don't have too many people here in California. But I discovered after going through John's Facebook that John and Marlo called a messenger John, my husband, on 12.
I'm sorry, Dr. Tarr, I have to remind you not to use the name of the complainant.
I'm
we
sorry.
Are only okay. using initials M.A.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I discovered that M.A. messengered. So in my personal Facebook space, I created like a Christian support group for myself because I was going through a high conflict with divorce, with wealth dynamics and custody stuff. And divorce is hard. And I'm not really working, so I don't really have an income. And then I discover, so I'm moving, and I'm completely dependent on my husband. And we have a very high conflict situation, and I asked for divorce. So it was already emotional. And then I have a rare blood type, so I have an autoimmune disorder, and I deteriorated from an autoimmune problem that put me in the ICU from stress. So my divorce isn't final yet, and I'm moving. And then I discover that Marlo reached out, I'm sorry, MA messenger John through my personal space and then asked to be my friend and post, and I asked John, if M.A., and he had a conversation, and he said she posed as your friend. I feel violated.
Dr. Tarr, I understand you want to speak to the sort of the second issue that is in front of us on today's agenda. I'm just asking,
okay,
you know,
so
why
I say,
the continuance is necessary.
I guess I don't need the continuance. I mean, I want some empathy and some compassion for me as a human being. And it's been a time where I do process emotion very healthily, and I've been reaching out with friends from grad school and some friends from my church because I'm a true Christian. And so they're doing prayer for me in that group. And so I'm not sure why I'm in the middle of so many major life changes that I'm not my normal, high-functioning self, and I'm hardly working. I hardly have any money at all because I was a stay-home mom. So I'm not sure what the motivation was for MA to reach out to my husband. And then this is something that she filed after reaching out to my husband, who's always been a narcissistic, a rager who self-injects steroids and has a serious drinking problem. And his mom now is in hospice today, my son's grandmother. So I'm not sure who MA really is, but she is a fraud. I thought we needed consent. So I'm just putting my feet on the ground and I'm taking care of myself because I'm immune compromised because I have Rh negative blood type. So last year,
Dr. Tarp, thank you for your statement. I understand your desire to sort of speak to the second issue, but I was just looking for some explanation from you as to why the continuance was necessary, and I think I got the gist of your views on that from the email correspondence that you have had with board staff, Dr. Davey.
Yes, given the licensee statement that she doesn't really need the continuance, I would just make the motion that the continuance request is denied, and then we move forward.
Second.
There's a motion by Dr. Davey and second by Dr. Medina. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. So at this time, since the continuance was denied, we can go to the initial case review. Ms. Galvin, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. So on the initial case review, let's actually see if the board members have any questions for me as the lead on this case before we go to MA and then Dr. Tarr. Hearing none, let's go to MA. I see that you're present. Thank you again for being here. If you can, at this point, wish to make a statement or see if the board members have any questions to ask you.
Distinguished chair, members of the board and staff, licensees, counsel, complainants, and guests. I'm here today to support the difficult work of the board in protecting the public, protecting the practice of psychology, protecting my colleagues, myself, and our clients. I'm available to answer questions, although I don't have any more recent information than what I've already submitted. Thank you.
Thank you, MA. Any board members have any questions for complainant MA?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Stewart.
Thank you. Thank you. MA, what about Dr. Tarr's behaviors concerned you to the point that you made a complaint?
Thank you for the question. The very marked difference from the experience I had with her when I served on an ASPA committee. She does not seem herself. It seemed that the deterioration happened pretty quickly. Another psychologist contacted me to alert me that they had concerns. And then two discussions with her and observations of her behavior gave me that impression that she was seriously impaired. I contacted the board to see if there was any way to go about this other than complaint. I suggested actually to Catherine that she self-refer for the RAMP program that was declined, and I consulted with a trust lawyer who said that Arizona is a duty to report state and followed through with my difficult and unpleasant duty. Thank you.
Follow up question, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
MA, do you believe that Dr. Tarr's behaviors are such that it would place the public in jeopardy?
I do, sir.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Could she repeat that answer?
MA, could you please repeat your answer to Dr. Stewart's question?
I said, I do, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions for MA at this time? All right, hearing none, let's go to Dr. Tarr. At this point, you may wish to make a statement of up to 5 minutes on the allegations against you, and then we will ask you a few questions.
Okay. Well, the allegations are false. I never said that I overdosed myself on wine and fentanyl. That makes me very concerned. I did speak about my concern about the homeless people over here because I have a 9-year-old son. So I'm a mom. I feel sad right now. And I feel sad that 20 years has gone by. I was a grad student in my 20s when I knew Marlo. I'm sorry, MA. And I'm not the same. I don't think that MA has a child. I do not think that she understands the dynamics of marrying. I do not know if she knows, but I am married to a very wealthy male with a strong personality, and I'm a mom. So I stopped working so I could take care of my baby. And then I worked through COVID, and then I decreased and stopped working again so that I could leave my husband. It took me a lot of courage and strength. I needed to rebuild my income. And so in my Christian home, I reached out through my Facebook page personally, where I do not work. And the marketing and things that were in the complaint, that Monarch stuff isn't even mine. My husband even reached out. He's very manipulative, and I was trying to get in for help. And so Jennifer Coulter Rodriguez and Christine Jonathan Clouchy are two of my friends, and Kim Feinstein, and they're all psychologists. And I was like, hey, can you guys just support me through this time? And I was just saying that I'm okay. So I'm not why MA is unaware of family systems dynamics and divorce dynamics. You're not the same when you're going through divorce. You're just not. It's the death of my family. Everything I had wished for, everything that I listened to, as a psychologist, I'm experiencing myself for the first time. And I'm really struggling with the lack of compassion and the false accusations and the fraudulent representation in a personal sphere where even the board members said, we do not work on Facebook. So where am I going to go for support if I don't have a large friend group here in California? Most of my friends are actually in Arizona and Wisconsin. So I have friends from Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod who have cancer and other things, and I'm going through divorce, and I was like, can we pray together and be here for each other? So I'm just as equally concerned about MA's lack of awareness of boundaries and her reaching out to John, who she doesn't know him. Now she says, let's have, and I have taken the photos, let's not tell Catherine because she might become paranoid, but this is just a friendly, unfriendling John. So now John and MA are friends, but Catherine, don't be paranoid. Now, I deny that I'm deteriorated mentally. I have a trust issue, and I am very ethical in my conduct, and I just am aligned so heavily with the ethics code that as I sit here in this 5-minute summarization, I couldn't come in on any of you and psychoanalyze you, which is actually my specialty, the unconscious. So I'm curious about MA's unconscious motivation by going to my husband. We're not even divorced yet. The 20 years, I don't know about any of you, but I'm not the same that I was when I was in my 20s. And I've always been very happy, and I've never been suicidal, and I've never used any narcotics at all. I do not have a drinking problem. I deny absolutely any of her accusations. Now, John, he self-injects steroids. He drinks vodka. He drinks 2 bottles of wine every day. Now, I miss my kid taking him to school today because I had to be here at 7:30. Now, we have a book report due on the Statue of Liberty, so I have to do the book report. But don't be anxious and don't be. I would be curious why, if I was dangerous for the patient population, why somebody didn't call the crisis assessment team. Orange County is over here to make sure that I'm not severely deteriorating. I believe in the methods of psychology, and that's why I am okay. I understand trauma, complex trauma. I've worked with people through divorce and supported them. So I did what healthy people do, but I trusted the wrong person. And I think that's all I need to say today as a human being, as a humanist. What the heck happened here?
All right, I don't know how. Please summarize.
That's it. I mean, I had 2 hours of work this week. That's it. Cash pay. What motivates a peer in a personal Facebook page to pretend that they're my friend? And then to report where the people I work with could report me if they thought there was something wrong. That's why the board is here. And so I went to my friends for support because I needed personal support during my family's, literally, John's mom is in hospice today, my son's grandmother. So I don't know how many of you grieve. I feel sad. And now I don't have, I really struggle to understand her maturity and her lack of compassion for me and why she would triangulate in this manner and confabulate. I don't know where that came from, but I would never, ever, ever do anything to hurt myself because I'm a mom. That's a huge, huge accusation to make. I'm a mom. I'm a good mom. I was attachment secure style doing mom. We co-slept. My son is my number one judge, not a stranger or an acquaintance. I didn't really know her, and therefore she is just merely someone I knew 20 years ago.
Dr. Tarr, I understand you want to talk about a lot of things, but we have a meeting to run, so I'll maybe ask you a few questions. I mean, I understand you're going through a lot of things at the moment, and I'm hearing concerns from you that you're concerned about your own situation at this time. So let me ask you about the change in the behavioral patterns that many people, I assume, have noticed on this board, as well as complainant MA has noticed based on your Facebook activities. Could you speak to some of the things, questionable things, in my personal opinion, that were posted by you on Facebook?
What I was saying in my Facebook group is domestic violence is real, and I survived it. I am a survivor of domestic violence. Now, I don't know if anybody out there was as abused in their marriage as I was. And then being vulnerable, I gave up a tenured faculty position. I gave up working and having insurance money coming in. I gave up the very thing that is being aggressed against. And then MA identified with the person who is, if I don't do, and I felt coercion and I felt deception. So I felt like strong arm. My son calls it flexing. Like MA called me and flexed all over me. And I think I have a right to say, I'm okay. No, I'm not the same. after being abused. I'm not. I'm okay. I'm not the same after having to tell the man who I really love. I love my husband unconditionally. And I did want to go to therapy, but my husband was calling around because he doesn't want me to tell the therapist that he was abusing me. So I showed up inside of where I have friends from. Well, now it's Argus University and they got shut down, but they've been loving me and they've been reaching out to me, unknown to John. He does not know. That is the only place I've been able to go because John, his business partner, just got out of prison. And he's under house arrest in Washington, D.C. because they committed internet crimes on the internet. Now, my son is in the background. He knows Kyle went to prison. I called the FBI. I was like, hey, I don't know if John Tarr is a criminal, but Kyle Bell is. And that's my husband's business partner. So while I'm over here being a steady Eddie, right? And then there's millions of dollars that ran through my Facebook. $754,000 went through my name that I did not collect. So now I've got the FBI, who I called. And now I've got MA calling the guy who I called the FBI on. That guy does not want me talking to a therapist. Why? Because.
Dr. Tarr, I was asking you about your Facebook activities, and we sort of meandered away from that conversation.
Okay.
But at this time, let me see if any of the board members have questions to ask you.
Chair.
Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Tarr, it seems like you're going through a highly stressful time in your life, in your marriage, and everything that's going on. And the compassion that I have for you is tremendous, and that I want you to seek the assistance that you want to seek. And I think the way that I would recommend formulating that is through a fit for duty evaluation. That way, you have that as your evidence going forward. And so I stick with my recommendation before a fit for duty evaluation. Thank you.
And I have reached out. So I have no problem with that. What the board doesn't know and what MA doesn't know is I was reaching out to try to get help, but then I have no money. I have no money. So my friends were helping me for free, but I have Dr. Mandy over here in California. You know, money doesn't grow on my tree in the backyard. So where I didn't have health care insurance, I didn't have, and I resisted because of, I am a sensitive and highly empathic and genuinely caring individual.
I understand you're trying to respond to Dr. Stewart's comment. I just have a follow-up question, and then I'll cede the floor to Dr. Seidman. At this point, are you seeing any patients either in California or in Arizona?
I have one Blue Shield. Okay, actually, on Wednesday nights, there is a 17-year-old daughter of a Starlink employee who's the parents know me, okay, through the treatment. She's 17. And she's preparing to go to Columbia. So the parents and I are in a relationship.
Dr. Tarr, it's a simple question. Are you seeing or no? It's a yes or no question. I'm sorry.
That's two people.
Two people, thank you. And they are in Arizona. They're in California.
I have zero people in Arizona. I have two people in California, a 5 p.m. a lawyer, and a 6 p.m. the daughter of a Starlink employee.
All right, thank you. Dr. Seidman, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Diner. Dr. Tarr, you're obviously struggling and you're hurting, and you're being quite obvious to our board about that, and you admittedly want to get help, and this process would be a really terrific way for you to do that. And MA and your friends and your colleagues from the university are all quite concerned about you. You know that. I really believe that you want to do this as fast as possible to get the help that you need to help you in your current situation.
I do. I need the money to do it too. So I managed to save up some money because I had to move to Laguna Beach. And so I needed to come up with basically $8,000 to get a new lease. And then I have to pay for the movers because I'm moving in 7 days. So it's like I had to choose between being homeless and sleeping in my car or going for the fitness for duty. So I chose to get the lease. And then I have 2 hours of work a week. And I have Dr. Mandy over here, and she is somebody who I have somebody in that Evolve group that I have who she referred me to Dr. Mandy over here in California. So I can just go right on over because I want to be in a brick and mortar. And I have no resistance, but I do resist, and I do resist because of the triangulation of MA. That's not care when you're reaching out to somebody else's. I just see that as a boundary that is triangulated. That is not my friend. If you're reaching out to the guy I left for a reason. Now I'm not going to reach out to her husband.
Dr. Tarr, thank you for your response. Dr. Medina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Dr. Seidman, and I think that Dr. Tarr is certainly going through a very difficult time in her life. And I also agree with him that getting this evaluation done would be the fastest way to get either clarity on how you're doing or help should you need any help. And I don't know, Mr. Chairman, can we make a motion now?
Yeah, let me just see if there are any more questions for Dr. Tarr at this point. Hearing none, we can go into discussion. Dr. Medina, you can get us started.
Thank you. I think I've shared my thoughts. We've all heard from Dr. Tarr and the concerns brought up by the complainant, and I would move to follow the CSC recommendation to issue an interim order for evaluation for Dr. Tarr.
Second.
Okay, just as a clarifying point, so it's a fitness for duty evaluation with a substance abuse component or without a substance abuse component?
With the substance abuse component.
Thank you for the clarification. Does your second still stand, Dr. Stewart?
Yes, Dr. Chair.
Thank you. There is a motion and a second. I want to have some discussion on this. And, you know, we are all concerned, I think, about Dr. Tarr's well-being. And I think this is, you know, as a board, when we see something, we need to follow our statutes and rules and make sure that our licensees are, giving their 100% as a professional psychologist to the public. And we have to protect the public from any potential issues that we see along the way when we are evaluating cases like this. So I wouldn't approach this, if I were you, Dr. Tarr, with sort of like animosity or adversarialness, in the sense that, hey, you know, it's the board that is imposing some sort of fitness for duty evaluation. My license is on the line. I think this will really help. And I'm a psychologist. I'm a public member, but I can see the value in going through this evaluation, because that will help you understand what needs to happen from a personal level. And it will aid the board in understanding, you know, what course of action to take in the future. So I think this is really, you know, all of us are trying to help you as much as we can. That's what I wanted to say in terms of discussion. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Jean Galvin. Would you care to make, as part of your motion, some time frames within which Dr. Tarr has to comply with the order? For instance, upon receipt of the order, she would have 10 days to select an evaluator and notify the board of who the evaluator is, have an appointment set within 30 days, and then the report would be due to the board 30 days after the conclusion of the evaluation?
Yes.
If this motion passes, then I have a request to offer that the board consider an additional motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Magina, would you include Ms. Galvin's addition to your motion?
Yes, yes, I include
and Dr.
them.
Dr. Stewart, your second still stands.
My second still stands.
All right, there's any other discussion on this? Dr. Flint. Oh, no, I'm sorry. any further discussion?
Can I
All right, let's
something?
Do a roll call on this one.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get my hand up.
Oh, sorry, yes, Dr. Davis.
Question with regard to practice during this period. Is this something that we are, obviously zero patients in Arizona today. Do we need to ensure that that remains at zero during this period that the evaluation and the report will be coming to us?
At this time, we are not restricting her license or her ability to practice in Arizona. You could seek an agreement, a consent agreement on her part for an interim practice restriction if she was willing to sign it.
I think my question would be, given that she has zero patients here, are we interested as a board to have her agree to continue to keep that at zero patients while she's going through the process?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
So I guess I would offer that as a, I guess, first a question to Dr. Tarr, if that's something she's willing to accept, and then if so, I would move that be added to the motion.
Yes, and, you know, I'd like to speak to the board directly because, you know, one of the things I didn't do was hide. And so I reached out to psychologists, and so I'm glad you're all here. I'm not glad that MA is here. That kind of gets under my skin a little bit, but I wasn't afraid to show up, and so because I showed up and I let her in the group, I'm really happy to see all of you, and I generally believe that psychologists are professional and highly competent, so that's why I surrounded myself by them in my life. And I will comply, and I asked them for help, and I was like, you guys be my personal board of directors. That's what I said, so I'm really happy to see all of you. I question, you know, and I'll be bringing that up with the, you know, I'll get everything done. I've never been oppositionally defiant, but I am loyal to the field of psychology. I am loyal to
Dr.
our
Tarr,
APA ethics zone.
I'm sorry. The question was, would you be willing to voluntarily restrict your
practice?
I'm not
going to. Yeah, I'm not looking to work more right now because I'm going to be moving. I mean, I've got to get my kid to school. I've got to get out of this house in 7 days. I'm not looking to work any more hours. I am looking for support. And that's what I was looking for from MA when she came in. I was looking for support. I love therapy. As noted in the complaint, I mean, I am a fan of therapy. I went And I worked with Dr. Leonard Court for 10 years. I'll throw myself on your court and I'll have the best time of my life and
Dr. Tara, thank you. I think you answered my question. I appreciate it. Yeah. So at this time, then I would ask that we include my addendum to the motion that the license have temporary restrictions during this period.
And staff and I will prepare, we'll prepare an interim consent agreement for her to sign for a practice restriction in addition to the interim order for an evaluation. Psychological evaluation based for duty substance.
Yes.
Thank you. So I'm assuming, Dr. Medina, that's part of your
motion. Yes, that is part of my motion, Dr. Davies' addendum as well.
Thank you. And Dr. Stewart?
My second still stands.
All right.
And we will need a roll call because of the interim consent agreement for practice.
Yes, let's do a roll call. Thank you, Ms. Gavin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dinar?
Yes.
Dr. Medina?
Yes.
Dr. Stewart?
Yes.
Dr. Catarino?
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Flint?
Yes.
Dr. Seidman?
Yes.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen?
Yes.
Vote is unanimous with one recusal. Motion carries. And just a reminder to board members, if you could talk a little louder, I'm even having a problem hearing over here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Poe.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a recommendation for a possible additional motion. In the event that Dr. Tarr fails to comply with the interim order for the evaluation, do you authorize staff to open up a complaint for non-compliance so we don't have to come back and repeat that step? So if she fails to comply timely with the interim order, do you authorize staff to open a complaint for non-compliance?
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. And I think that's the best course of action moving forward. So I'll make a motion as
second.
And there's a second by Dr. Medina. Any discussion? Hearing none, do you need a roll call for this?
We do not.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Still noting for the record that Dr. Catarino is recused. Motion carries, one recusal. All right. That was agenda item number 8. Thank you again, MA and Dr. Tarr, for being here. Board staff will be able to provide you additional instructions. So at this time, Ms. Pakkinen, what should be the next item?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to recommend we move to item 11. The parties have joined virtually.
Thank you. So item number 11 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding request to terminate probation from Dana Johnson, MS, for complaint 23-49. So on this, I believe Ms. Michelson is the lead, so would you please provide the board with a summary?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In October of 2023, Ms. Johnson entered into a consent agreement, an order for decree of censure, probation, and continuing education for a complaint, which included the following terms. A decree of censure, within 90 days of the effective date, she shall complete 3 hours of pre-approved education in the area of appropriate transition of services for clients. In addition, probation for a minimum of 3 months. At the end of 3 months and completion of the required CE, she may petition the board in writing and request termination from probation. Ms. Johnson completed the required CE within the allotted time frame. There were no other requirements of her pursuant to the terms of the consent agreement. Her request to be released from probation is before the board for consideration today. I do want to note that Ms. Johnson is currently the subject of one other pending complaint regarding allegation of unlicensed practice. The board had opened this complaint for further investigation at its October meeting based on the CBA's recommendation. That complaint has been scheduled to be reviewed by the Committee on Behavior Analysts at their next meeting. This concludes my summary, but please let me know if there are any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Michelson. Any questions for Ms. Michelson? Hearing none, Let me see if Ms. Johnson is present, and I believe her attorney, Ms. Carvis, is here as well.
Yes, good morning. Mandy Carvis appearing with and on behalf of my client, Ms. Dana Johnson, who is also present. I'll just make a brief statement regarding why we believe that it is appropriate to terminate the probation at this time, and Ms. Johnson is happy to answer any questions that any members of the board may have. As Ms. Michelson pointed out, there is kind of a companion case with respect to this. This complaint also stemmed from Ms. Johnson's work at Centria and her resignation from that organization. And that's her work at Centria is what is the subject of the other complaint in terms of whether or not she could practice in the capacity that she was led to believe by them that she could. This complaint stemmed from her resignation from that organization, and she believed that she was on the process of being terminated from that position. So rather than be terminated, she resigned. She understands now, with the benefit of hindsight and looking at back at the situation, that there was a more professional way for her to handle her resignation. And more importantly, that she understands it's her responsibility to make sure that her clients are appropriately transitioned, even if she does leave an employer. So she learned a valuable lesson here. She's completed the terms that this board wanted her to in order to be released from probation. And we believe in that regard that she should be released from probation. And then the board can obviously can and will consider the other aspect of the Centria situation with respect to the other matter. But we do believe that termination of the probation is appropriate at this time and would request that the board do so. Again, Ms. Johnson is happy to answer any questions that anyone may have for her. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carvis. Any board members have any questions for Ms. Johnson or Ms. Carvis at this time? Dr. Seidman.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Diner. And thank you for being here, Ms. Carvis and Ms. Johnson. I appreciate, Ms. Johnson, you completing the CEUs as required by the board. And I'm wondering, in hindsight and reflecting back on the circumstances that you went through, what might have you done differently now that you completed those CEUs?
Well, obviously, I would have given at least a month's notice to my employer. And, you know, so I could safely transition those clients. And of course, hindsight is always 20/20. But I also should have just ran the risk of getting fired, because that would have been better than leaving my clients to the possibility of not being transitioned appropriately. I also found on the BACB website that continuity of services and the toolkit there and the steps that they have to how to safely transition your clients when you leave a job. So obviously I would reference that and follow all the steps that they outline there.
Dr. Davey or Dr. Seidman, did you have any follow-ups?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. David.
Thank you. And thank you for being here today, both you and your attorney. I believe Dr. Seidman's question, you know, same kind of question I would have for you as well. But I think I'm going to take this moment just to thank you for going through the process. Understood that the process was connected to some other things that we will ultimately adjudicate here at the board level. But I do think that your comments around what you did learn about your recommendation, your recognition that the BACB as well as other professional associations have guidance around how we deal with continuity of care, how we deal with transitioning clients. I hope that you, through those CEUs, that you don't give up on that, that this becomes, you know, something that you continue to stay on top of, you continue to kind of monitor how the field looks at this, because this is an issue, right? It's the field is moving. It's a highly sought after position to be a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona or a BCBA nationally. And I think it's important for those that hold those positions that they understand when they transition, they have a right and obligation to their clients. And so while I appreciate the CEUs, I just implore you to continue to evolve in this area as well as other areas of your professional practice. Thank you.
Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly appreciate you and your attorney being here this morning, and I commend you for completion of the CEQs required. And your comments have been very thoughtful and responsible, and very thoughtful. And I do not have any problem with early termination of probation. Thank you.
Any more questions for Ms. Johnson or Ms. Carvis at this point? Hearing none, let's go into discussion. Dr. David.
Yep, happy to kick off the discussion. I think my discussion is more to just kind of get us towards the motion. This licensee has fulfilled her obligations, has rehabilitated herself with regards to the ethics questions at hand. It appears to be heading in the correct direction in her career. And I, for one, would like to see us reinstate her license and move out of the probationary period. Thank you.
Second that motion.
All right. There's a motion by Dr. Davey and second by Dr. Flint. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Thank you,
Ms. Johnson, and congratulations.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice day.
All right, Ms. Michelson or Ms. Pekkanen?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Let's take care of agenda item 16.
All right, 16 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding board member and staff participation in the ASPPB's 2024 mid-year meeting to be held on April 24th through 28th in Boston, Massachusetts. Ms. Pekkanen, would you please provide a summary?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So we have received the announcement that the registration is open for this meeting, and we have the draft agenda. So I have indicated in the board, in my memorandum, that I have confidence that our budget will allow for at least three individuals to attend. I am still waiting confirmation that I will be a speaker at this meeting. I anticipate that I will be. That does help defray some of the cost, specifically the registration fee. What I hope is that in the ensuing weeks, I will be able to identify that we can find adequate funds to send as many as four individuals. I have had interest articulated from a few board members to this point. Dr. Medina and Dr. Catarino have interest in attending. The invitation was extended to our newest board members, and for various reasons, the timing and the circumstances don't allow them to attend this particular meeting. Dr. Davey, I don't know where he is. In the past, he's indicated some interest, but I think that may have been predicated on to his whether he was going to be a presenter. So I need some direction from the board, and I always ask for a motion because this does involve out-of-state travel, and I am required to complete a form that this is an agency-approved expenditure.
Thank you, Ms. Pekkanen. Yeah, I think, I mean, as a discussion item, I would encourage, up to four members to attend. And thank you, Dr. Medina and Dr. Catarino, for your willingness to participate in the meeting. In the coming few days or weeks, I'm sure Ms. Pekkanen will hear from others who are interested in going to this meeting as well. I'm prepared to make a motion to approve Ms. Pekkanen plus up to four members of the board to attend the ASPPB mid-year meeting.
Second.
There's a second by Dr. Stewart. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Mr. Chair, may I suggest that if we do not, if I'm able to identify funding for a fourth person and no additional board members register their interest, might Ms. Michelson be the fourth person to be eligible to attend?
Certainly.
Thank you.
So that was number 16. Where to next, Ms. Packman?
Mr. Chair, let's do number 17. That should be a relatively quick discussion.
Okay, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding rescheduling the July 5th, 2024 board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So when the 2024 meeting calendar was drafted, and I'll remind the board, and I know the board appreciates this fact, when we schedule meetings, which are inclusive of committee meetings and board meetings and so forth, the spatial relationship, or the choreography, as I call it, between meetings needs to be very carefully considered and precise. So when we observed that the July 5th meeting fell at a really unfortunate placement on the calendar, in that it is a Friday, it is the day after a national holiday, and of course we have to be respectful and cognizant of the possibility we wouldn't have a quorum of members. Members, of course, you know, volunteer their time. And so, you know, we have, sometimes we need to, you know, make accommodations around your lives and so forth. So we don't have a whole lot of latitude to shift board meetings. But if we were to shift this board meeting, and that's your prerogative as a board, staff would suggest that we look at the following Monday. We really don't have any other practical options available. So that would be Monday, July 8th. We can curate the agenda to the extent that it can be a relatively brief meeting, a focus meeting, if you will, to address the most critical of items, which typically are the applications and then anything else that we know we can accommodate in the time that we have. So our most important items. Do you have any questions for me about this?
Thank you, Ms. Packinen, for that summary. I mean, I, for one, understand the desire to shift the July 5th meeting. I know many, I'm seeing many nodding heads as well. But the question is July 8th, does July 8th work for at least a majority of the board members or a quorum of the board members? It works for me, but, you know, I just speak for myself when I say that.
At this point, it works for me.
Thank you, Dr. Caterino.
It works for me as well.
July 8th would be fine for me too.
July 8th, I'll have to attend parts of the meeting. I have two appointments that day that we cannot change, but I will be there for the majority of the meeting.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Dr.
It looks like I'd be able to attend as well.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen speaking. I'll be able to attend July 8th.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
I am available on the 8th as well.
All right, so I'm hearing there's sort of a consensus, and it's looking like there will be a quorum at least for a majority of the meeting. Although we understand Dr. Stewart has some prior commitments and others might have, like Dr. Caterino. So I guess we can sort of tentatively go ahead with July 8th, but if we can't assemble a quorum, we can revisit the question.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So what I think I'd like to do is follow up with the board members and just make sure that, you know, we have a record of attendance And I think that we should look at trying just to schedule the meeting in the morning, unless I get direction otherwise, that the preference would be in the afternoon. My hunch is that board members would prefer to allocate the beginning of the day and have the rest of the day for whatever else they need to schedule.
Thank you, Ms. Pakkinen. I mean, you know, some of us are morning people, some of us are afternoon people, but, you know, we have to sort of meet halfway at some, you know, on some days. So I'll leave that in your capable hands to figure all of that out. Do you need a motion on this or?
No.
Okay. All right, that's number 17. I know we have a timed item coming up at 11, and my plan is to take a short break before that timed item because I suspect that will take some time to go through.
And Mr. Chairman, this is Ms. Poe.
Yes.
I would like to give out the next CE code word. The next CE code word is caddy. Caddy, thank you.
All right, Ms. Pakkinen, where should we go next?
Mr. Chair, I believe we can do agenda item number 9. I'm looking at Mr. Carey for affirmation.
All right, let's call item number 9, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the results of the evaluation completed by Stephanie Skinner, PhD, in accordance with her interim consent agreement. An order for practice restriction and evaluation for complaint number 23-12 and review of her self-report for criminal charges. Ms. Michelson, would you please provide us a summary?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Skinner was issued her psychologist license in 2017. In September of 2022, the board received a complaint against Dr. Skinner regarding allegations of impairment. Subsequently, she entered into an interim consent agreement, an order which specified the following terms. During the pendency of this consent agreement, her license is suspended. During this time, she shall not practice, and the suspension will continue until such time the board enters a final order. Additionally, prior to the lifting of the suspension, she shall complete a fitness for duty evaluation. At the board's meeting in April of 2023, the board reviewed and approved a second extension from Dr. Skinner to complete this evaluation. The board granted a six-month extension. Ultimately, Dr. Skinner completed the evaluation in October 2023 within the required timeframe. I will not get into the specifics of the evaluation report as some of the content contains PHI. However, the evaluator did make various recommendations relative to treatment and her professional practice. The board may also recall at the April 2023 meeting when the extension request was approved, I did notify the board at that time that Dr. Skinner had very recently submitted a self-report regarding a criminal charge. The charge was reported to the board within the 10-day requirement statute. The court charging documents indicate that on March 13th of 2023, she was charged with disorderly conduct, recklessly handling a deadly weapon or dangerous instrument, a class 6 felony. Subsequently, in August of 2023, Dr. Skinner entered into a 6-month deferred prosecution agreement for this case, which required probation and other various terms. The agreement indicated that she successfully completes all requirements of the program during the 6 months of deferred prosecution and has no new criminal violations. The state will dismiss the charge with prejudice in this matter. The six-month mark is approaching fairly soon. I anticipate Mr. Carey will provide the board with an update on that agreement. And just as a reminder, the board has not yet interviewed Dr. Skinner relative to the complaint allegations, her self-report, which resulted in this deferred prosecution agreement, as well as the evaluation results. So this will be the board's opportunity today to gather more facts and to determine next steps. One such option the board may elect to consider is offering Dr. Skinner a proposed consent agreement, the terms of which would encompass possibly the evaluator's recommendations and any other terms or conditions that the board believe is warranted to protect the public. So this does conclude my summary. Please let me know if there are any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Michelson. Any questions for Ms. Michelson? Dr. Stewart, and I see Dr. Seidman's hand is up as well, but I'll let Dr. Stewart go first.
Mr. Chairman, could we hear from Dr. Seidman first, please? I believe he needs to recuse.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Okay, Dr. Seidman.
Thank you, Chairman Diner. I'm going to need to recuse myself from this particular case because I've had previous contact with this person.
All right, thank you, Dr. Seidman. Dr. Stewart.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Michelson, do we have any, can you, I don't know if you can talk about the specifics of the criminal charge, or is that something I should be asking Mr. Carey? Or should I ask that question at all?
Mr. Stewart, board members, to clarify, I believe this felony charge was in relation to a camping incident with the respondent and her adopted son, in which she made threats of using self-harm with a handgun. She didn't have a handgun present. That's my recollection of what this charge is in relation to. Mr. Carey may be able to provide more specifics.
And Heidi, do I need to turn on the speaker on the pad here?
Do we need, does he need to turn on the speaker?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Stewart, members of the board, Dr. Stewart, that is accurate. The allegation was that she had a firearm present and she made a comment. I'll obviously defer to Dr. Skinner about the nature of the comment. There was no finding, obviously, that a gun was pointed at the child or anything along those lines. And Ms. Michelson is correct. She's in diversion, and she actually has completed her diversion requirements. We're just waiting on the probation department, which monitors diversion participants, to submit the paperwork.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I ask Dr. Skinner a question?
Yes, please.
Dr. Skinner, what was the nature of the verbal threat or statement that you made?
I threatened to kill myself.
I didn't hear that.
I said I threatened to kill myself.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for interjecting. We really need everyone to project as loudly as possible, given that we had to disable the microphones.
So just a reminder for everyone, just speak loudly as you can. You know, this is your opera practice.
Did the committee need something further from Ms. Dr. Skinner at this point, question-wise?
So I want to see if any board members have any questions for Dr. Skinner and her attorney. Dr. Caterina.
Could you clarify, because I don't know if I heard everything, like exactly where we're at legally? This is in a diversion program and on probation?
Yes, Dr. Caterino, members of the board. She is not on probation. This took place in Coconino County. It's a much smaller department, so they do not have people who monitor diversion separate from probation. So probation does everything. The agreement that we reached with the prosecutor is something called a Rule 38 diversion. It did not require her at any point to enter a guilty plea. Essentially, what the prosecutor did is put the case on hold, gave her 6 months to participate in certain programming and certain requirements. Once she completed those, the case was dismissed.
And when did the 6 months begin?
6 months began, I will pull up the date.
Will it end? Either way.
It has. We've hit the six-month period at this point. It's but just that we're waiting on dismissal.
We're done with the 6 months?
We are, but what has to happen is the probation department has to file a report. And then when it files the report, then the prosecutor will agree to that report, and then the case will be dismissed.
Do you have any idea when that might be?
I would say probably within the next few weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Board members, if I may just sort of clarify the question, the date that Dr. Skinner entered into the agreement said was August 2023. I just wanted to clarify one question. Mr. Carey indicated that she was not on probation, but the agreement indicates she shall report to adult probation within 24 hours of entry into this agreement, and she shall permit to the supervision of adult probation.
Yes, and that's as I indicated to Dr. Caterino. There is not she's not on probation because that's post-conviction. She was simply placed in the care of APD because they're the folks who handle both pre-adjudication, adjudication, and post-adjudication supervision.
Okay,
Thank you. Any more questions at this time?
And Chair Dinar, I do have some, whenever questions are done,
yeah,
I do have
go
some
ahead.
Comments. Yes. I saw Dr. Stewart had another question. I don't want to obviously talk out of
school. No, John is coming to ask, what are our options here?
You go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I did provide some information to the board in the form of a letter. I'm making a request that is, I believe, supported by the law. Obviously, you will get different opinions about how this could be done or if it can be done. This is a case where she did agree to an interim suspension. She placed herself on an interim suspension after speaking with Ms. Pakkinen and Ms. Michelson. She provided a significant packet of information to you about sort of what led up to this. And this is not, for me, what I think is compelling is this is not sometimes what we see, which is drug or alcohol impairment or other types of issues that led to this offense. I think there was a lot of context that we were able to provide you once she resolved her criminal case. And I hope that was helpful in you being able to understand how this could happen with someone who's a very accomplished and in general in her life, a very well-grounded professional. I would suggest that already the criminal aspect of this, the need to deal with this from a public safety perspective, to create a public record has been remedied. We have charges. We have a public record. She went through a diversion program. This is very well documented at this point. And so I know at times there's this interest by your board and every other board to create a public record. I would suggest that that has been satisfied through the justice system, which was the best avenue for that to happen. So I don't think there is, my opinion or my position would be, there's not a need to discipline her, even if there is a need to monitor her. And we know that Eric Lott provided you a pretty detailed report about some very common sense items, many of which she's already doing, that would allow her to safely return to practice. You have the RAMP program. RAMP is statutory in nature, and RAMP does not have any restrictions in the statute that would prevent her from being allowed to participate in RAMP. She self-reported. I understand she came to the board initially in kind of an odd way with a complaint from a relative, but she did self-report when the criminal charge hit. She did agree to an interim suspension until she could be made safe under your statute, which has occurred according to Dr. Lott. And we now have recommendations and an evaluation. So we have all the ingredients of a RAMP on this case. And I know we're getting to it in kind of an odd way. And normally the way the board uses RAMP is that there is an impaired professional in the field who calls up Heidi or Jennifer and says, I need to be placed in RAMP. What I would suggest, and I've suggested this to other boards when we have had put people in what are called confidential health agreements, is you want to create as few obstacles as possible to an impaired professional getting into programming. I think the idea is that you can set up an opportunity here where someone looking in says, oh, I can get myself into a program and I'm not going to be put through a disciplinary process. I know we got here in kind of a strange way, not the normal ramp path, but I think you want to be able to, every chance you get, to incentivize people out in the field to say, I can come home, I can come back to the agency and be put in a safe program. You do that by removing obstacles. And so my suggestion would be there's not a policy basis or a rule basis by regulation or by statute that prevents you from doing what we're requesting. So I would just ask to give some consideration to allow her placement in RAMP. I think that is a way to phase her back in. And we're coming with a professional who has been out for a while due to this interim suspension, but has used that time very effectively. So we know she is rehabilitatable as well. And then finally, if she doesn't follow the RAMP program, she's non-compliant, you still have all of your tools available. Nothing precludes you. You're not somehow giving up your opportunity to reevaluate this case. So I am asking for something that's a little unique, but I think we have unique circumstances here. I know we are also not in legal precedent land here, but this is something where other boards, and I've done this as recently as the last 2 months at the medical board, they have their own program. They have the ability to move people into confidential agreements as well. There are instances where that does occur. So I think that in the right circumstances, it can be done. And I don't think the law precludes you. So that's why our request is based on RAMP. And then just finally to speak to the comment about PHI, if you do want to speak to Dr. Skinner about anything in the eval, any of the items that were brought up with PHI, we did indicate we're absolutely willing to sit with you in executive session.
So I think at this time, I see Dr. Martina's hand is up, but I would like to make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice, and I would entertain an addition to the motion to also hear about personal health information.
Second.
All right. So for both personal health information and?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So that's a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
None opposed. There is one recusal. A motion passes. So Ms. Pakkanen and Ms. It is 11:43, and Ms. Poe, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Seidman?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Present.
Mr. Nguyen?
Present.
We have quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Poe. So at this point, is there a motion?
I do have a motion.
Yes, Dr. Martina.
Mr. Chairman, I move to offer the respondent an agreement as discussed in the executive session.
Second.
And there's a second by Dr. Stewart. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's do a roll call.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dinar?
Yes.
Yes.
Dr. Medina?
Yes.
Yes.
Dr. Stewart?
Yes.
Dr. Catarino?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Flint?
Yes.
And Dr. Seidman is recused, correct?
Yes, I'm recusing myself.
Thank you. Dr. Stenhoff?
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen?
Yes.
Vote is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Poe, and thank you, Dr. Skinner.
Thank you, Dr. Skinner. Thank you.
So, Ms. Pakkanen, my suggestion at this point would be that we break for lunch and then come back and then do the timed item, which was timed at 11 o'clock.
Is that a motion?
I can exercise my moderator's privilege and just break for lunch. And
you have my support.
And for those members who are joining virtually, I'm going to end the meeting. And when we resume for lunch, you will have to rejoin the meeting. So the meeting will be ended and you will have to rejoin after lunch.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dinar, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dinar, we will reconvene.
So I estimate we should be back in 30 minutes. I know it's a quick lunch, but we need to keep the meeting moving.
I think Dr. Seidman had a question.
12:15, the meeting will reconvene.